Hello, my name is Sandra Day O'Connor. General Winfield Scott, whose portrait you are seeing, is an ancestor of mine. He was the most influential American military leader through a good portion of the 19th century. He was a huge man. He stood at about 6 feet 5 inches tall, and he weighed anywhere from 220 to 300 pounds at different times in his life. His first foray into military life came in 1807, when the young Winfield Scott was studying to become a lawyer. He was in Richmond, Virginia, and attending Aaron Burr's trial on treason charges when the British attacked and boarded an American ship off the coast of Virginia. And this lit a fire under Winfield Scott. He left the trial and somehow borrowed a uniform and began serving alongside the Virginia militiamen. He never actually joined the militia, but he was somehow placed in command of a small group of men. He credited the experience with sowing the seeds for a military career that would span the terms of every president from Thomas Jefferson to Abraham Lincoln. General Scott was commissioned as a captain in the U.S. Army in 1808, but his first few years of service did not go smoothly. He was court-martialed and suspended for his criticism of Brigadier General James Wilkinson. Then, during his first real combat mission, General Scott and some of his troops were taken prisoner as they tried to invade Canada during the War of 1812. His early missteps just emboldened him. He was released from captivity and rejoined the War of 1812 as a colonel. He began bringing a small library with him whenever he traveled, even in combat, and he earned a reputation as a brilliant war strategist. General Scott also insisted on professionalism, so much so that he earned the nickname of Old Fuss and Feathers for his love of pomp and protocol. During the Black Hawk War, Scott issued an order that any soldier found intoxicated would have to dig a grave at a suitable burying place large enough for his own reception, as such grave cannot fail soon to become wanted for the drunken man himself or some drunken companion. Now, Scott's greatest successes came during the Mexican-American War, when he led the capture of Mexico City. The Duke of Wellington declared Scott the greatest living general after hearing of that campaign. Scott became a national hero, and the Whig Party passed over the incumbent president of the United States, Millard Fillmore, to nominate Scott as its presidential candidate in 1852. Well, as we know, his campaign was not successful, but General Scott became the first American since George Washington to attain the rank of lieutenant general in 1856. He was the general-in-chief of the Union forces at the beginning of the American Civil War. When General Scott's home state of Virginia seceded for the Civil War, Scott remained faithful to the Union. He drew up a strategy known as the Anaconda Plan, which emphasized a blockade of southern ports and cutting off supplies to the south. The plan was originally said to be too passive and time-consuming, because people in the Union wanted a quick victory in the Civil War. Although Scott resigned just about the time the Civil War really got underway in November 1861, nevertheless, the main parts of his Anaconda Plan were all eventually implemented and were critical to the victory of the Union in the Civil War. While General Winfield Scott's name might not be as familiar as some other great American generals, he ushered the United States military through its formative years. In many ways, he was the father of the modern American military.